All right, so our challenge this morning is to be like Lizzie. If we could have a t-shirt, be like Lizzie. All right, and that for those of us who know Jesus, the Easter musical is something we already know. Spoiler alert, Jesus died and he rose. Okay, we know that message, but how many know there are so many people that do not know that message well? They've never heard it articulated clearly, and this really does that in vivid color. All right, and the other thing is that's really neat is that everybody who comes will see somebody on the stage that's a lot like them, that has a doubt or a position in life, and so that the entire musical is to lead people to a choice. So what we're asking you to do is to buy tickets. Buy tickets for other people. Invite people with you. Get a car full of your kids' friends. Don't shy away from people who go to church. I grew up in church and was lost. I was absolutely going to hell going to church. All right? Co-workers, people that you know, and bring them. So this is on the 18th is Good Friday, and then Saturday, the 19th of April. So this is really our Miracle Life. It's our gift to the world in a way that we can do the big part of our mission, sharing Christ. And so don't just come for entertainment for you, and it is entertaining, but it's a gospel tool that God's given to us. Amen? So let's just buy tons of tickets. Let's bring all kinds of folks and let's watch what God will do. Amen? All right. Turn with me to the book of Daniel. The book of Daniel. I trust that God's been speaking to you and helping you as we've been going through this book. I tell you, I told Pastor Sammy, Pastor Moffat last week, I said, I didn't know Daniel hit so hard. All right. But what a wonderful, wonderful text. So last week in Daniel, we saw that, so Nebuchadnezzar is gone, the leader of the Babylonians. His relative, the handwriting on the wall came, he was removed. And so the Persians came in and overtook the Babylonians. And yet Daniel is still there. Daniel still rises to the top. Daniel still serves and does the right thing. And while the King Darius was kind of tricked into making a decree that people couldn't pray except to him, he's a pagan, Daniel continued to pray. And we saw last week that it was his lifestyle, that he would pray three times a day. And God delivered him because he was faithful. Amen. So we saw an important point last week that prayer is a lifestyle. It is something that should be a regular part of our life, not just when we're in a crisis, not just when we're troubled. But today in Daniel 9, we're going to see another prayer of Daniel, and we're going to learn some lessons from him. And this prayer was triggered by a crisis. This prayer was triggered because he was troubled, all right? So next week, Pastor Moffat is going to look at some of the nature of these dreams and visions that Daniel had, and the beasts and the horns, and what does all this mean, all right? So there's really, really important content so Daniel had a dream, then he had two visions, all right? And so there's a lot to unpack there, but in general, he had these visions of beasts. And these are beastly rulers, beastly kingdoms. And God vindicates his people. All right? And so, if you remember, Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and Daniel was the one who interpreted the dream. Now, Daniel had this dream in, I believe, Daniel 7, in Daniel 7, and he was troubled, didn't know what to make of it, and so the angel Gabriel came to explain it to him. All right? Because Daniel didn't have a Daniel to call on, so God made a way. All right? So, Daniel 7, there's this dream. Daniel 8, he has another vision. And in that vision, in Daniel 8, the temple of God is desecrated. All right? So, what they would consider the most holy place has been desecrated, but it's going to be restored. All right, so now Daniel is wondering, how long? How long, God, till you act? How long till we're going to wait to see your hand? Okay, so that's kind of the background of what's happened in chapter 7 and 8, and we'll pick up in Daniel 9. Okay, Daniel 9, verse 1. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the lineage of the Medes, who was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans. So this is the Persian Mede Empire. All right. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood. Say, I understood. I understood by the books the number of the years specified by the word of the Lord through Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. Huh, what is he understanding? Because I'm not sure I understand. But he understood something. So verse 3, then I set my face toward the Lord God to make request by prayer and supplications with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. All right, so we're going to learn three lessons today from Daniel's prayer. And so there's prayer in chapter 9, there's prayer in chapter 10. Okay, so we're going to learn some things, see some things that will help us in our prayer life. Okay, now, one thing we need to know is that Daniel was praying in the covenant that the Bible says was inferior, because you and I have a new and a better covenant. We have better blood. We have a better temple. We have a better high priest. We have better promises. All right. So if Daniel could accomplish some things in prayer, how much more should we be accomplishing? All right. James said, when he was talking to believers about prayer, he said, you know, Elijah was someone with like passions, meaning he's just human like you. And he prayed and it stopped raining. All right. You and I are thinking, I don't think I need to pray that it stops raining. Okay. So, but big things were accomplished in the old covenant in prayer. How much more should big things be accomplished in the new covenant by you and I who pray? All right. So one of the things that one lesson that we see from Daniel is that Daniel's prayer life, this prayer was initiated because he was troubled. He was troubled, all right? So he was wondering what was going on. You see more of his trouble in chapter 7 and 8. So he had questions. He was troubled in his heart. Where did he go? He went to God. We live in a world that when people are troubled, they go to a lot of different other sources. All right? People go into pleasure. People go, many, many people, you know, use alcohol or get on drugs because it's a place where they can forget reality. All right? And so my life is pretty terrible, but at least on payday around the end of the month, I can forget my troubles. You can also forget your money as well, because it's gone now. All right. So when people are troubled, people do things. Sometimes people, when they're troubled, they will only call and look for a human answer. Okay. And thank God, God uses humans. But do we seek the Lord? Do we look to the Lord? If you remember, King Saul started out following the Lord and seeking the Lord, the king before David. But then there was trouble in his kingdom, as every leader is going to face trouble. Where did he go? He went to mediums. He went to the occult. He went to witchcraft. And it did not go well for him. Look at Psalm 27. Psalm 27. Now, this is a psalm of David. So David's the one writing this. And when you look at Psalm 27, it is in the context of trouble. He had enemies that he could see, that he was aware of. All right. So what is David's response? Psalm 27, verse 7. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. David's talking. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, God, your face, Lord, will I seek. So we see that Daniel, in Daniel 9, that he says he fasted. There was sackcloth and ashes. All right. So the sackcloth and ashes was a tradition in that time of mourning, of being troubled. But it was what it also showed was he was pausing the regular events of his day to seek the Lord. It was a purposeful time to seek the Lord. And what I see from the New Testament is there's not a magical number of a fast. We're going to do a 40-day fast. We're going to do a 21-day fast. Some people even do a Daniel fast where they put aside special food or nice food. All right. And I don't think that it's in the number of days of the fast at all. Okay. In fact, in the New Testament, we see God's people. There were times where they would set aside in the book of Acts where they fasted and sought the Lord. Amen. Okay. We've said this before at Miracle Life. If you're fasting without praying, you're just slimming. Okay. There is no benefit at all to going without food. Unless you're taking that time to say, you know what? I'm putting my flesh under. In fact, probably most of us would do better fasting TV and our phone. To set aside our heart and our mind to seek the Lord about at certain seasons of our life. All right? So, it was a dedicated time. He set, verse 3 says, I set my face toward the Lord God. To make requests by prayer and supplication. All right. So this was not accidental. This was his decision. His church didn't call everybody to do it. All right. He knew I've got to seek the Lord. All right. He was looking to someone and he turned his face toward the Lord. So I want to challenge everyone in this place that when it comes to... Again, when your life is troubled, if you're troubled about who you're going to marry or if this is the right person to marry, should I take this job? God, what do I do in this situation? Or Lord, it feels like there's enemies and there's people. Set time to seek the Lord. Look to Him. All right? And again, I don't think there's a magic. Some people get up in the middle of the night. Some people find it helpful in the morning or in the evening, whatever it is. And let me also say this practically. If you're married, seek the Lord with your spouse. Seek the Lord with your spouse. Amen? If one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000 to flight. There's power in unity. All right, so when you're in trouble, seek the Lord. Lesson number 2, and we're going to take some time here, is Daniel prayed with biblical understanding. He prayed with biblical understanding, not just half of a verse that he saw on the back of a taxi. Okay. Man, I tell you, we should start a move for taxi drivers to come to Rhema, because the theology on the back of taxis is really wonky. I mean, it's all over the place, you know. I love reading the little scriptures on the back and everything. Okay. So he prayed, and you're going to see in this prayer, Daniel knew God's word. And he was praying in light of God's word. Okay? So just in the very first part that we read there, okay, in verse 2, he said, I, Daniel, perceived in the books of the number of years according to the word to Jeremiah the prophet, must pass before the end of desolations of Jerusalem, namely 7 years. So he had this vision, and in the vision was, there was some biblical content in the vision that the temple would be desecrated, desolation, but Jeremiah had spoken of some time period. Now, how did Daniel know about the time period? Because he knew God's word. Right? He was already aware of what God had said before the trouble came, before he had questions. All right? Your prayer life will only be as effective as your knowledge of the word of God. God does not respond to tears. He responds to faith. Faith begins where the will of God is known. Okay? So if your cat dies and you say, "Oh God, what are you saying?" It happened on a Wednesday and the person walking in the street was wearing green. What are you saying, Lord? He's saying nothing. God doesn't speak to people through dead cats. How do I know that? Because the Bible makes it really clear. All right? But if you are biblically ignorant, your prayer life is going to be a disaster. Okay? And you're also going to get taken advantage of by other people. All right? So, he was familiar. Well, what was he familiar with? Let's go to Jeremiah. All right? He says he talked about the word of the Lord to Jeremiah. Let's flip over there. Jeremiah 25:12. Then it will come to pass. So when Jeremiah wrote this, it's about the future. Now Daniel realizes, oh, this is what he was talking about. Then it will come to pass when 70 years are completed that I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, the land of the Chaldeans, for their iniquity, says the Lord, and I will make it a perpetual desolation. All right? So there's 70 years. So he's aware of what God had said about this event. Let's keep reading, all right, in his prayer. Daniel 9:4. And I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession and said, O Lord, great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant and mercy with those who love him and with those who keep his commandments. All right. That end of verse 4, that is a verbatim quote of Exodus 20. This is not coming from Daniel's mind. This is not coming from something he saw on TV. He is speaking God's word back to God. So he's saying, God, you keep mercy. Lord, you do this for those who love you, for those who keep your commandments. How does he know to trust God in this area? Because he knows Exodus 20. It's in his heart. It's in his mind. All right? So again, oh, that's so, so important. Folks, we've got to get God's word in our mind. We've got to get it in our heart. All right? Then verse 5. We have sinned and committed iniquity, speaking of the nation. We have done wickedly and rebelled, even by departing from your precepts and your judgments. All right? What precepts? What judgments is he talking about? He's talking about the Torah. He's talking about the scripture that he knew, that he had been trained in, that he had learned. Okay? And so when he said, we've done wickedly by departing from your precepts and your judgments, he's not saying that because grandma said so. He's not talking about culture or tradition. He's talking about God's ways. And when he looks around at God's people and he knows and recognizes God's word, he said, God, we have departed. We've departed because I know what you've called us to. I know what you've asked of us to do. So again, there was the prayer was influenced about what he knew about God, and it was influenced by what he knew about God's ways or God's standards. Okay, let's keep going into this prayer. Verse 8, O Lord, to us belongs shame of face, to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, because we've sinned against you. Verse 9, to the Lord our God belong mercy and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him. Let's pause. To the Lord belong mercy and forgiveness. Is that because he's realizing, boy, I sure hope so, because we're a mess, and I would really like a God who forgives? No. Again, he's quoting back to God what God said about himself. Exodus 34:6. The Lord God, merciful, this is God speaking, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. So why could he say in his prayer in verse 9, Lord, to you belong mercy and forgiveness? Because God said they belong to me. Are you seeing this? This is so vital. It's so important. Okay. So his heart and his prayer is saturated with what God is already on record having said. Verse 10, we have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his laws, which he set before us by his servants, the prophets. Yes, all Israel has transgressed your law and has departed so as not to obey your voice. Therefore, the curse and the oath written in the law of Moses. Everybody say it's written. He's quoting something that's written. He's quoting something that he's read. He's quoting something that he knows. It's written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, that these curses have been poured out on us because we have sinned against us. Now, wait a second. Now he's going into cause and effect, isn't he? So this happened because you said it was going to happen. Well, that's all over the Old Testament. Deuteronomy 8, right? If you obey the Lord, if you follow his ways, you'll be blessed, the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. But if you don't, the curse will come upon you. All right. I remember as a kid reading about in Deuteronomy 28, one of the curses in the old King James is you would receive the botch of Egypt. I don't know what the botch of Egypt is, but I don't want the botch of Egypt. All right. So, but what God's people realized was if you had the botch, we've disobeyed. This is part of the curse. All right. And the curse of disobedience. All right. So, he's understanding what's going on around him, and he's understanding these visions based on what he knows about God. All right, let's keep reading. Daniel 9, verse 16. O Lord, according to all your righteousness, I pray, let your anger and your fury be turned away from your city, Jerusalem, your holy mountain, because of our sins, for the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and your people are a reproach to all those around us, a reproach, meaning we're supposed to be this incredible light and example, and we're the opposite of that. Well, Daniel, where'd you get the word reproach? He got it from Psalm 79:4, talking about that when God's people would turn away, they would be a reproach. Okay, verse 18, O my God, incline your ear. Open your eyes and see our desolations in the city which is called by your name. For we do not present our supplications before you because of our righteous deeds, but because of your great mercies. Oh my. And this was a prayer I believe he borrowed from Moses. Okay? He would have had access to this information. And how many of you know Moses was a very prayerful guy? Okay. And let me just tell you, Miracle Life has a leadership mandate on it. And so there are many leaders here, and God is raising up leaders from among Miracle Life. But one of the things every leader must be is a praying leader. Someone who goes to God. And you know, in Moses' life, there were times where God, rightfully so, said, Moses, please get out of the way and let my anger be hot. And I'm going to destroy my people and I'm going to start with you. All right? Remember Noah? He can do this. And Moses would step in the way and say, God, what are these other nations going to think about you? I'm thinking about you, God, not about me, but I'm thinking about your reputation here. You brought us out of Egypt and then you left us to die. And the Bible says, and the Lord relented. Right? Another time, same kind of a situation. And then that was after Exodus 34. And then Moses begins to speak back to God what God said. God, you abound in mercy. You abound in forgiveness. And God says, okay. And he changed his mind. Changed his mind about judgment because Moses stood in the gap. All right. Now, this was a really bad one in Numbers 14. And so Moses is praying because the people now want to go back to Egypt. They want to fire him and go back to Egypt. And he's praying for them. I'm telling you, by Numbers 14, I would have just said, hey, God, you remember that fire thing? Yeah, I'm not going to stop you on this one. Okay. Numbers 14, 19. Pardon the iniquity of this people, I pray, according to the greatness of your mercy. What did Daniel pray? Forgive, not because of our righteous deeds, but because of your great mercy. What did Moses pray? According to the greatness of your mercy, just as you have forgiven this people from Egypt, even until now. See, Numbers 14, 19 was written down. It was written down for Daniel. He read it. He knew it. He prayed it. He believed it. Do you see this? Your prayer life will only be as effective as your knowledge of the Word of God. A deep understanding. Again, not just half of a scripture on your fridge. Okay? A deep understanding. So, this lesson is, first of all, that we keep God's Word in our heart and in our mind. But that when we pray, we use Scripture. Scripture is woven into our prayer life. And that our heart and our mind is informed by that. Right? So, you know, thankfully, I think it's died down a little bit around here, but dangerous prayers. People would go into a stadium and the prophet would say, bring all the people who have done you wrong and list their names. And so it's judgment night. This happened in Harare, okay? And Lusaka, sadly. All right. And so you call fire on all these people, right? And one reason I know that these prayers aren't working is because not a lot of people are catching on fire, okay? We just don't see that on the 19-hour news, you know. Good evening, Zambia. Man in Chapata spontaneously caught fire tonight. More news later, okay? So it's not working, but see, those prayers are not informed by Scripture. They're informed by my anger, aren't they? Yeah, I'll get them. And there was a time where I, as the pastor of your church years ago, there was a situation and somebody outside of our church and there was a wrangle and things weren't going well for them. And the Lord rebuked me because I was enjoying it. You know, that Michael Jackson meme of him eating popcorn, that was me, you know. And I began to pray for them. God, have mercy on them. Because that's what Jesus said, didn't he? Pray for your enemies. So I started obeying the Bible, and then the whole situation changed. Okay. So, pray with your Bible open. Pray with a heart that knows and understands. You know, Jeremiah said something about this. Jesus said something about this situation. Amen. All right, last lesson. Lesson number 3. Your prayers to God have supernatural results. Prayers to God. So Daniel is speaking to God. He's praying to God. And we have much of it recorded here. Okay. So Gideon came to explain the dream of chapter 7, the vision of chapter 8. Okay, and then Daniel continues to pray in chapter 10. Okay, so let's pick this up, Daniel chapter 10, verse 1. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a message was revealed to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar. Remember, the king changed his name. The message was true, but the appointed time was long, and he understood the message and had understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant food, no meat or wine came into my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. So again, what does he do? He sets time aside. All right. This is more than the 3 times a day lifestyle. This is now a prayer assignment, something I want to seek the Lord about. Verse 4. Now, on the 24th day of the first month, I was by the side of the great river, that is Tigris. I lifted my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose waist was girded with gold of Uphaz. His body was like beryl, his face the appearance of lightning, his eyes like torches of fire. His arms and feet were burnished bronze in color, and the sound of his words were like the voice of a multitude. This is an angel. I don't know where we started painting angels as fat little babies in nappies with harps. There is no description in the Bible of fat little babies being angels. Angels are bigger than you. They are more powerful. I mean, these are awesome beings from the throne of God. And pretty much every encounter you see, when somebody sees an angel, they're afraid. Who's afraid of a fat baby with a nappy? All right. All right. Verse 7. So here comes the angel. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men who were with me did not see the vision. All right. So it wasn't what's referred to as an open vision where everybody saw it. He saw it, but with great terror. But with a great terror fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. They knew something was going on. Verse 8. Therefore, I was left alone when I saw this great vision, and no strength remained in me, for my vigor was turned to frailty in me, and I retained no strength. Yet I heard the sound of his words. And while I heard the sound of his words, I was in a deep sleep on my face, with my face to the ground. Suddenly, a hand touched me, which made me tremble on my knees and on the palms of my hands. All right, so now we get to the message. All right, now here's what the angel is saying. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly beloved. Isn't that awesome? So they're going to talk about kingdoms and princes of Persia. And there's like heavy duty stuff that they're going to talk about. But an angel is a messenger of God. So they don't speak on their own. But twice, and there was another time where the angel said the same thing. He wants to know, Daniel, you're greatly loved. Isn't that wonderful to know? You're greatly loved, greatly beloved. Understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. While he was speaking this word, I stood trembling. Then he said to me, do not fear, Daniel. For from the first day that you set your heart. So remember, there were 21 days he was praying. From the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard. Words. Prayer is out loud. I went to a church as a kid, and there were prayer requests, and that was good, and people would submit prayer requests. And then sometimes the leader would say, and we have one or two unspoken requests. Here's the thing you need to know about an unspoken request. It is 100% an unfulfilled request. There's no unspoken request. Let your voice be heard. Heard by God. Okay, prayer is out loud. Okay, so your words were heard, and I have come because of your words. Wow. Wow. So he is praying to God, praying the word of God, the will of God. And when he did that, angels were activated. How? By Daniel praying to God with the word of God. All right? So, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words. Can angels be activated by our prayers? It's in black and white. It's in the Bible. Verse 13, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me. All right, so this demonic force that was behind the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. And behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia. Whoa, this is interesting, isn't it? All right, now, one of the things that I think is helpful for us to see is that Daniel was praying. What was he praying? He was praying God's word. His words were heard. Angels were active, or this angel was activated because of his scriptural prayer. And now, behind the scenes in the heavenlies, an angel is at work. Another angel comes to Michael, the archangel, that is a warrior angel. Does Daniel know any of this? He doesn't. Now, here's a lesson. I don't think he needs to know any of this. You and I don't need to order angels. I don't know if you remember 4 years ago, there was a video that went around, and I watched it again yesterday, of someone in the States who was concerned about something, and they were praying, and then they were calling and activating angels from Africa. Angels from Africa, come and assist the American angels. I'm not sure angels have passports. I think they just kind of do their thing. All right. Now, on the other hand, I could understand why an American would want angels from Africa, because the angels in Africa are battle tested. I mean, they're like Arnold Schwarzenegger in Commando. I mean, they've seen some things. All right. But they're calling on the angels from Africa. I remember at the time thinking, if it's okay, we really could use our angels here. There's like revival happening and churches and the kingdom of God is expanding. And there's a lot of trouble. And so get your own angels. But anyway, but I say that because there's no zero biblical precedent where you and I need to call on certain angels. Or What's our mandate? Pray to God. Pray His word. Have a mind and a heart that understands His ways. And then, behind the scenes, God's doing stuff that you have no idea what's happening. All right? And so we don't have to order continental angels around. Okay, I don't even think we, you know, God bless Ron Canole, but we don't need to go up to the high places to tear the devil's kingdom down. How many of you sang that? I sang it. How many of you sang it with fervor? Going up to the high places. Going up. Where are the high places? Where are we going? How are you getting there? Okay. To tear the devil's kingdom down. Down to where? Where's the kingdom going? Okay, no, you don't need to go up. You don't need to tear the devil's kingdom down. You pray to God, pray His word, and watch the results happen. Amen? Okay. God works behind the scenes. Oh my, and there may be angelic activation. There may be all kinds of things that God is doing. How many know God can do His part really well? All right. What's our part? To pray biblically and then to watch Him at work. Now, the other thing that's interesting here is that there was a delay. So the angel began to work on day one, but there was 21 days of steps. So that's the other thing is, When things are not happening on day one, don't worry about it, okay? Many times God's working on people, all right? And so there may be a time factor. All right, let's go to the New Testament and see, I think, an example, super good example of what we just talked about. Go to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, and then we'll close. So, the early church has been given a commission by Jesus, go into all the world, preach the gospel, and Peter and John did it. And so they went to the temple, they were just kind of minding their own business, a man was healed, and it caused a huge furor. And the Jewish leaders are upset because they thought, well, we've killed Jesus, we've stopped this, but now there are miracles again. Jesus is being preached, and so they commanded Peter and John to stop speaking in his name, stop preaching the name of Jesus. Peter says, well, we're going to obey God rather than man. Amen? Okay, now I know some of you think that means not paying your taxes. Jesus said, pay your taxes. I'm not going to obey man. Well, Jesus said, pay your taxes. Okay, so these guys know how to kill people. They had Jesus killed, all right? And now Peter and John come back to their Christian brothers and sisters, Acts 4:23. And being let go, they went to their own companions. Do you know who your companions are? Do you know who your godly companions are? Okay. And reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. So when they heard that, I mean, it wasn't a good testimony, was it? When they heard that, they raised their voice to God. Did they start binding devils? Did they start going up into the high places? No. They raised their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God. You who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant David have said, now they quote verbatim from Psalm 2. How do they know Psalm 2 at a prayer meeting? Because it's in their heart. Why did the nations rage? Why did the people plot vain things? And the kings of the earth took their stand, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. So they realize this is going to happen. You said it would. For truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Now, Lord, verse 29, look on their threats. How long did they pray about the problem? Like a third of a verse. And grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word, and by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they assembled was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Now, I personally believe, I don't think the place where they were praying, that it was shaken, that was not the answer to the prayer. All right, that was God filling them with the Holy Spirit, okay? And the place was shaken. The answer to the prayer in Acts 4 was in Acts 5 and 6 and 7 and 8, as God began to use these people who prayed that to do just what they had asked God to do. Lord, use us. May we be more bold. We're being asked to back down. Lord, fill us with greater boldness. Do signs and wonders that people can't explain. And so it happened. Amen. So you and I are called to pray. You and I are called to make a difference, yes, in our own life, but in the lives around. Did you notice that Daniel's prayer, or both of those prayers in chapter 9 and 10, they weren't about Daniel, were they? They were about God's plan, God's agenda, God's work, what God wanted done on the earth. And so you and I are called to do just that. Amen? Father, we love you. Lord, we thank you that we can come boldly to the throne of grace, that we can come because of Jesus. And Father, may all of us here, Lord, be like Daniel, that, Lord, when there's trouble, when there are questions, when there are things we don't understand, Lord, we seek you. We look to you. Father, that our hearts and our minds would be just filled with your word as we seek you. And Father, thank you that when we talk to you, you begin to work. Father, thank you that there are more that are with us than are against us. Father, thank you for angels. Thank you for favor. Thank you for Holy Ghost-filled power in our lives. All the different ways, Father, that you work, we trust you. And we know that you are at work doing what you said in your word that you would do, Father. Lord, may today cause us to pray with more boldness. May today cause us to pray with more Bible, Father, with greater accuracy, and Lord, seeing greater results in our families, Lord, in our companies, in our businesses, Lord, Lord, in our nation. Lord, we thank you that the greatest days of the church in Zambia are ahead of us. Lord, we're grateful for all the things you've done already. But Lord, there's so much more to do. There's so many more people here now, God. Greater issues, greater problems. And Lord, thank you that you're filling not just people at Miracle Life, but across the body of Christ with boldness, with your power to do your work. In Jesus' name.